2 weeks ago, I gave a message, and I just want you to understand, I believe in God's prophets, and I also believe in apostles. We are an apostolic church as well as a prophetic church. So the first thing you need to understand is apostles focus more on the written word of God, and they can prophesy while they're preaching. They could be quoted to scripture, and it's like you're getting prophesied to. Okay. I got saved on John 3:16. So I've heard that scripture many times, but if an apostle quotes John 3:16 and it's your time, you're getting saved on John 3:16. I don't care how many times you can read John 3:16 or hear John 3:16, but if Jesus shows up when John 3:16 is preached, guess what? Something good's going to happen. Okay. So that's apostolic preaching, where God shows up with the scripture, the written word. We are a prophetic church. That means that people will get up and they'll say something or do something that you may not get at first, but it's the word of the Lord. And many times we've seen things done here where somebody would do something and you're like, what in the world is that? You know, what happened there? And you're like, this is God? And you like, okay, we'll just put that, park it, pray about it, see what God does. And then a lot of times God will work through the prophetic word of the Lord. So I want to say that we, because we're apostolic, I believe everybody should be apostolic, okay? Don't get me wrong. And I believe that in times for key things, the scripture is what we have to emphasize. So that the most important thing is it's the word of the Lord, the written word of the Lord that stands. And the prophetic word, you know, the Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. So even when you get a prophetic word, you know that you are in the partial realm, and only the written word of God is perfect. It's just perfect. We may not even, we don't understand the word of God perfectly, but the word of God is perfect. It is perfect. 2 weeks ago, I preached a message about that this is going to take some time. How many of you remember that? This cruise is not a short cruise. I believe it was a prophetic scripture that was letting us know that the storm was going to last long. I mean, I want to encourage you because I know the Lord gave me the word of the Lord for that. I said that not one hair of your head shall perish. So I'm going to give you I told you so, and then you can forgive me, okay? It is not about a person. Never. Never about a person. It's not about men. It is about the mission. It's about the mission. When Paul was on the ship, he said, God told me I am going to Rome. I am on a mission, and nothing's going to stop me from my mission. And I feel the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Focus on the mission, not the man. It's about the mission. Yes, this is a cruise of a lifetime. It is all about the mission and not the man, okay? And so Paul said one thing that's very, very important. He said, take heart, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. There it is. It's going to happen just like the way God said it. All right, now, human beings are fallible, partial. We don't know everything. We don't know everything. But if you're on a ship and that ship's rocking and rolling and God shows up in the form of an angel and says, I don't care what you think or anybody else thinks or how long you've been on this storm, the Lord says, you're going to Rome because you're on a mission, Paul, and nothing's going to stop you from the mission that God has for you. Nothing is going to stop you from what God wants you to do. And that I can say that over anybody. Over anybody. You need to be so sure in your heart that you're going to do exactly what God wants you to do. And sometimes you're going to be on a boat that's going to be, it's not going to be the love boat. Now, here are two facts that I feel like you need to know. Two facts. Number one, this is from Bloomberg, it's from a news service. Under a 57-year-old federal law, the GSA is determined, that's the General Services Administration. That's like the people that run the government. Of an apparent winner of an election, is the trigger for allowing that person's transition team to start. So there is nothing that says news media has anything to do with who wins an election. It is something called the GSA, General Services Administration. And they're the ones that make that decision. Now, there's no clear standard about when they make that decision, whether it's triggered when networks call the contest or when the Electoral College meets in December in a post-elections. The GSA has permitted transitions to begin even amid recounts. So just from a matter of, I'm just giving you a fact about the way the government is. I never knew this because this, we're going in a way that we've never been before. Okay, so the second thing is, and that GSA administrator will do it based on the process laid out in the Constitution. Thank God for the Constitution. Second fact, Al Gore conceded to George W. Bush on December 13th, 2000. Let me say that again. Al Gore did not concede until December 13th. So that's a nice little fact to know in case anybody just gets, because everybody's so hyped up about it. It's so emotional. Matthew chapter 10. And I want to call this the mission provision. It is all about the mission that we are on. It is not about men. And we have a process or a mission that God wants this church to do. God wants you and me to do. And Jesus lays it out here in Matthew chapter 10. I did say that right. And I'm giving you 10 points in Matthew chapter 10. So 10 points for chapter 10 in Matthew. That way, I think hopefully it'll help you remember it, because I want this to stick. I really, really want this to stick. Just like I felt like the message in Acts chapter 27 was something that was to last and is prophetic, this is prophetic. This is a word to you, to me, to the church, and actually I think it's the church at large. Just not just Wellspring. I think it's for other people too. It's, we have a mission that God says is not going to stop. It's not going to stop. So let's get off the, let's take a chill pill and have some, like I said, it's time to stop fasting and start eating the meal together. You guys are fasting. It's what I told you. Remember, you're fasting because you're worried, not because you're having faith. God wants us to sometimes to stop things that are good in and of themselves, and I'm not criticizing people who did it. I just want you to fast for the right reason, and I want you to feast for the right reason. Okay? And we're not going to discuss what reasons they are. We'll let that be between you and God. Okay? So Jesus sent the 12. They were not called to Jesus just to learn from Jesus or to gather to Jesus. And that's what we do on Sunday morning. What we do on Sunday morning is we gather to sit at the feet of Jesus and have him teach. Just like Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard the word, she stopped being busy. She stopped being busy with all the stuff. And she said, I'm just going to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he's got to tell me. But church, I want to say that in a lot of ways, we've gotten very good at gathering people to sit at the feet of Jesus, but we have not been as good sending them from the feet of Jesus. And that's where I feel like the church, not just our church, but many churches, we've got really good. Some churches are very excellent in bringing people in. But once they get there, they're never getting sent out. And I will never forget. I don't know if you were there. You might have been there, Mr. Tony. But in the basement on Hazelwood Lane, when this church was in its, if you will, nuclear nuclear, I don't want to say nuclear, nuclear form in its early days. We got a word of a prophet, a good friend, of ours, Bob Lake, that he said, this is ascending church. This is ascending church. I'll never forget that word. Why? It has been a foundational word to this church. He said that for everyone that you will send, I will bring to. Never forgot that word. And I speak that word over this church, and I want you to speak that word over this church. That this is ascending church. We have a mission. We don't just gather here, and we don't get upset when we don't see as many people here, because when people go, it's because God is sending them. And many times God will send somebody, you're like, oh no, how are we going to do it? And then what does God do? Raise up somebody else. God can do anything. He can send us a drummer. He can raise up a drummer. He can bring a drummer. I don't care. God provides. And God is ascending. This is ascending church and a mission church. And it's about the mission, not people. It's not about men. It's about the mission. And I believe it's God's way. It's ways bigger than our ways. Amen. Okay. Have you got another amen for me? I want to move on. Praise God. You can amen. You're moving on. Praise God. So Jesus sent his disciples, and the first thing he said to them is, don't go among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When God sends people, he sends them to gather lost sheep. He sends you as a shepherd, and it's your job to find, and I'm telling you right now, this is what God is sending you to do. We need to find some lost sheep and bring them in to the sheepfold. Amen. Bring them in. And I don't want goats. I don't want wolves. I don't want coyotes. And I don't want bears. Hear that, Ted? No bears. Sheep only. Why? Because I'm a donkey. And if I see a coyote, I'm going to kick the fire out of that coyote. Right? Now, I'll run from a bear because I'm a smart donkey. I'll just go tell the master, get the gun. The bear's here. God will show you where the sheep are. Turn to your neighbor and confess that. God's going to show you where some sheep are. Come on. And don't waste your time on coyotes, okay? Don't waste your time on them. God give you wisdom. There's some sheep out there. Bring them in. Amen. All right. Second thing. Here we go. Proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is in hand. We are a kingdom church. And we preach the kingdom. And you don't have a kingdom unless you have a king. There's got to be a king, and his name is Jesus. And the kings rule. They rule everything. They tell you what to do. So church is not a social gathering where you've got a coach. And I'm going to stay off of that. What church is not. But it's a king where Jesus says, do it. And guess what you say? Yes, sir. All right. Praise God. And all right. So there you go. Now it says this. Let's keep going. When you go, heal, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Praise God. So when you go find sheep, believe God for signs and wonders. And we thank God that we have invested time and we have great resources. And we thank God for Randy Clark Global Awakening in particular, because they're really good at that. And we're blessed for those guys. It's not that we didn't know that beforehand, but we are blessed with those guys. And it is the way it needs to happen. We need to watch miracles. Well, I just prayed for somebody. They got miraculously healed. They decide that, hey, I want to go to your, you know, I want to come with you. Why? Because when you get, when you pray, something good happens to me. That's what needs to happen for all of us. All right. So that's the first thing. Now let's look at the second thing. It says, you received without paying, give without pay. Wow. God is so good that he gives to us without charging us for all the blessings of the kingdom of God. Trust for provision, but not extravagance. Don't take silver and gold. It is not about silver and gold. It's not about you. It's about the mission. And if it's about you or the person, then for some reason, the silver and gold just keeps like being the issue. Keeps being the issue. It's not the issue. It is not the issue. God has a way. Then he said this. Find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. That is verse 5. I mean, the point number 5. When you go somewhere, you're to stay in one location and not go from house to house, because it's not about you going and collecting a lot of stuff. See, if you go from house to house, you can get all kinds of stuff. But you go to one place and let God provide for you right there. And you'll find there'll be key people like that wherever you go. Be wise and innocent. I love that. It says, be wise as a snake. You're not a viper. You're a snake. Vipers protect themselves by poison. Snakes protect themselves by getting out of your way. So be wise as a snake, because a snake has to be wise, because it's easy to step on a snake. And you are a dove, not a hawk. You're a dove. Doves, we get doves every morning out here. And they're innocent. They're harmless. Except if you park your car into them, okay? But that's modern man here. Trust God to speak. Yeah. Trust God to speak in uncertain, unexpected situations to overcome anxiety. So let God help you when you are in unusual situations. God is going to speak to you to overcome any kind of anxiety. It says, if the house is worthy, look at verse 13, let your peace come on it. Let your peace come on it. God wants you to go in peace. So you will find peace in the midst of being out there. No matter where you go. Now, where's the out there? The out there could be where you work at school. There could be a sheep in that school, just like I found a sheep in my school, in your school, all the way there. Could be. There could be a sheep where you visit somebody to do a job, somebody you see at lunch, somebody, you know, there's all kinds of people. Some of you have blessed the church, too, by bringing people, and you've got a good shepherd's rod. Overcome fear, verse number 6, with the hope of light of eternal reward, you are much valued and loved by the Lord. Why would we be afraid? Well, it says that you need to have peace when you go from house to house. So if Jesus wants to give you peace, and he says in verse 16, pretty clear, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. See that in verse 16? Beware of men, mankind. You'll be flogged, dragged into governors and kings for my sake to bear witness. And this is when you deliver you over. Don't be anxious in how you're to speak or what you're to say or what you are to say to be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And then there's issues with family, where because of your faith, family members do nasty things. I mean, this is testimony. I mean, I've never gotten persecuted this way by government officials, but that's not saying it won't ever happen. And it certainly happened to people I know in other countries. So, but we need to understand that God cares about us and values us when we go through stuff, when we do what God wants us to do. And I would say myself that I have experienced the rejection of man on more of a personal level than a government level. So there are times when people have been nasty, really nasty, because of Jesus. And it may be because you take a stand for something right, and you don't put up with like immorality. You don't put up with bad stuff. Sometimes it's power. Sometimes it's greed. It just, you know, can be different things. But when you walk with the Lord, you're going to have to carry your cross. It is a cross. And we have the cross here because if you're going to be sent, you have to carry your cross. But God cares about you so much, and he loves you, and he wants you to be like Jesus. In verse 25, it says, it's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, or the devil, how much more will they malign those of his household? And I guess it's easy to illustrate this one from the election. There's been the nastiest name calling I think I've ever seen in an election. Has anybody seen it worse? I haven't. Nasty. Just really nasty what people are saying. And that's just one example that it has. So don't have fear. Don't fear, verse 28. Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And you're worth more than many sparrows. Verse 31. You are worth a lot. Can we stop for a second and just pray that scripture? You are more valued than many sparrows. Can we just pray that? That we're worth more than that. So, Father, we just pray right now that you have numbered the hair on our head. And, Lord, we are valuable. You love us so much that we can be sent. That you care about us because our value is worth much, much, much more than we realize. And Father, we just pray that if there's any fear in us that keeps us from sharing Jesus with others and from finding sheep, Lord, help us to overcome any fear and any anxiety about the way we'll be treated or about suffering loss or not having what we think we need to have at the time. Help us to overcome all of those fears and all of those worries. Well, Lord, if I do what you want me to do, I won't have this or I won't have that. Or, Lord, if I do what you want me to do, everybody around me will think I'm crazy. So, Lord, we just pray that your love would motivate us to go in an apostolic way. Amen. Amen. Okay. Look at verse 34. I like this. Verse number 8. Don't think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And Jesus will bring division, enmity, like we have enemies. and suffering before all the good stuff like peace, reconciliation, salvation. You're going to see bad stuff many times happen before the good stuff. So when you see the bad stuff, that's okay. That's okay. God is going to make some good stuff happen. Amen? And then take up your cross. And look at verse 41. We're going to finish it off here. I already talked about the cross as our inspiration. But I'm going to start here from verse 40. Whoever, I'm going to say, do we really believe this? I want you to ask yourself. Whoever receives you receives Jesus. Do we believe that? Receive. Whoever receives me, Jesus said, receives my Father who sent me. Then he talks about three kinds of people. The one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet. In other words, people know who you are and they still receive you because you're a prophet. And what's a prophet? Somebody who can bring the word of the Lord to their situation where they live right there. Not general knowledge about God, but knowledge that penetrates their life, their situation, their circumstance. That's what a prophet will do. They'll bring the presence of God to where you're at right there. And they may give you something for the future. They may tell something about your past to set you free. But that's what prophets do. They got the word of the Lord for you. And there are people that will receive you because you're a prophet. And there are prophets in this room. But not everybody's a prophet. But that's a level. That's a place. It's a calling. Then it says, Jesus says this, the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. The greatest, I want to say in some ways, and this is a reverse order. You start with the little ones and then you work your way towards profit, okay? But you'll see that. But the righteous person is a person who walks in righteousness because they have faith in Jesus. And when you hang around people who live right and who are truly righteous because of faith in Jesus, there is a huge blessing. Huge. Because God will do things for the righteous that he doesn't do for anybody else. As a matter of fact, you can't be blessed without it, without being righteous. It doesn't happen. And resurrection is rooted in righteousness. But if you're not walking in righteousness, it's because you have no faith. Faith makes you righteous. And if you're righteous, you're going to heaven. Period. And if you're not righteous, you're not going to heaven. And how do you get righteous? By having faith in Jesus. Confess him as Lord. Believe that he is believe in him. Lord, oh Jesus, you're Lord, and you've risen from the dead. Why did he rise from the dead? It was impossible for death to hold him because he was a righteous man. He is the only innocent person ever killed, completely innocent person, killed wrongly. He's the only one. And we have his righteousness because he loves us. He cares about us. And we need to walk in that sense that we're right. That we're right with God. We're just with God. It doesn't mean that everything we do and say is perfect. Don't get me wrong. It's not perfect. Yeah, I know God's speaking to you. I can tell. You just go ahead. Yeah.
But when I got saved, I was like the first one saved in my family. And I had incredibly close relationships with my grandfathers. I mean, I was their princess, and I mean, I was like carried on a plate all the time. But when I got saved, I told my grandfather about Jesus, and he says, oh, he doesn't want me. I've sinned too much. And I, with my baby faith, I said, oh, Grandpa, he loves you. He wants you. You're okay. You're going to be okay. And so one day I'm singing in church in a choir, and I look toward the back of the church, and who do I see back there? My grandpa. Sneaking in the back of the church, you know, and then sneaking out, and he's, you know, he's like, yeah, my game was really good, you know. And so when he died, I was already in America, and, you know, I didn't know. I went to sleep asking the Lord, did he make it? And in my dream, the Lord said, because he accepted you, he accepted me. And I just lost it.
Come on, Jesus.
You know, it was.
He who accepts a righteous man,
yeah,
receives the, yeah, righteous man's reward. Come on.
It was so exciting, you know.
Come on, isn't that the Lord?
Yeah.
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 Like, I couldn't make him say, you
know. No, you can't. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Wow. But listen to this one. This next one, it says that he who gives a cup of to one of these little ones, so what's that about? Because he's the disciple. Jesus said, if you don't come as a little child, you cannot get in. A little child. What's a little child? A little child. Sorry, mothers, don't disagree with me. Well, you might, if you understand what I'm saying. A little child means, I don't know anything. I just don't know anything. I thought I knew something. I thought I knew the word. I thought I knew this. When I got saved, I was raised in church. I was 17 years old. I did everything I was told, like, that way. But then when I got saved, it's like I became a little kid again. It's like I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I opened the Bible and I'm like, what's this? I get it now. I didn't get it before. So I couldn't help but read it for hours and hours and hours and hours. So much so that my mama, who was a preacher's, you know, raised in church, she was like, what's wrong with him? He's reading the Bible all the time. What's wrong with him? Right? But that's the attitude. So if you receive someone who's just, I'm just nobody. I just love Jesus. I have a lot to learn. I don't have all the answers, but I know who my daddy is. I know who my mom is. And he called, I believe that Jesus called his disciples little ones, little faithers, on purpose. He said, hey, you little faithers. Why? Was he just trying to put them down all the time? No, he was saying, look, you who were raised a Jew, who were taught from the very time you were born that you were the chosen people, and that you've got the word of God, and all those other heathen are really stupid and really ignorant and really lost and really messed up. No, 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 no. No, no, you're just a little child. And all you know is who your daddy is. And you've got a lot to learn. So don't get an attitude towards people. It's all about faith. Because God can give someone faith without you or with you. And it's not about how much you know, it's who you know. It really is. So I wanted to stop right here, and I'm just in awe right now of God's presence. It's our mission. And our mission is not going to be stopped. And whether it's just being a righteous person or being a prophet and just saying something to somebody and they're going, oh my goodness, they're reading my mail. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it. And you're just like, and they're like, oh my goodness. Or if you're just, being real with people and just having them with you, they're going to receive Jesus just by receiving you. It's going to change their lives.